listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Dwayne for the bottom. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
Stanley drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer, at the wall,
take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southern Most Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio. What's going on, everybody? Beautiful Thursday night, and same old, got some basketball games going on. It is playoff time, so about three games every day. I am happy to announce that the Heat took care of business earlier tonight. Just a terrific performance by the entire team. Check it out. I know the Heat played at 7 o'clock, and they cruised to an 87-70 victory. There's only two games on tonight. Heat and Knicks for the first game, and currently now it's halftime on TNT. The Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mavericks return home to Dallas, but OKC has been playing the best so far. They're up 50-41.5. Mavericks 26 points in the first quarter, 15 in the second quarter. Not shooting too well. Three pointers. They're 4-for-12. Six turnovers there in the second quarter. Not a good second quarter for them. So if the Thunder looking good, if they continue this, they'll be up 3-0. And obviously, nobody's ever came back from a deficit like that. Just moving on to my top news. Derrick Rose is done for the playoffs after tearing his ACL in Game 1 versus the 76ers. The Bulls did lose Game 2 at home. Pretty bad, actually. I give a lot of credit to the 76ers for hanging tough. The Bulls still came out pretty strong, but if you look at the 76ers, it was more of them just hitting every shot and playing excellent basketball. So that series is tied at 1. I still think the Bulls will win that series, but 76ers proved to me that they can win some games and they have a lot of confidence. So the way that they played last game, it's anybody's series. But as you guys know, the Bulls really haven't had Derrick Rose at all in the second half of the season. So, and they still finish with the best record. So clearly they're a quality team without him. I don't see why they shouldn't play great basketball right now. But we'll see what happens in Game 3. Returns to Philly. Philly now has home field. Chris Bosh, welcome to Baby in the World today. And already in New York, Bosh flew down to South Florida to be there when his baby was born. Was there for a little bit, and then questionable for playing. He flew back to New York and made it for game 3 tonight. So a good day for Bosh. He did not really get any sleep at all, but that wasn't really a factor. I think he would be. He's having a great day as it is anyways. I'm sure adrenaline was kicking in, so he played fine. Moving into some NFL news, Roger Goodell finally handed out the punishments to the players. Four players getting suspensions. The biggest was New Orleans' Jonathan Vilma, the key centerpiece of their defense. He is done for the year, 16-game suspension. So he's going to be with Sean Payton for a year, having no part to do with the Saints. And, you know, it's a complete no-no. I heard a lot about what actually went on, and he was right there in the middle of it. He was actually paying players to knock out. It was Kurt Warner and Brett Favre, I believe, were the two quarterbacks. They said at the end of everything, like he gave the money back. But you know, it's that the whole point of it was to not even do anything close to that in the first place. And he was obviously right in the middle of it. And you know what? It's just a bad thing. And when you take risks, you should be prepared for the punishments. He's out for a year. You know what? You're getting paid a lot of money. You should set good examples. I don't have a problem with it. And people forget that these guys have the perfect lives. They play the game they love, get paid millions of dollars. I know it's a tough game and they get hit, but you know what? That's a big rule to break. And these four players were all on New Orleans team at one point. Two of these players, Green Bay, who now Anthony Hargrove, who's now in Green Bay, gets 8 games. Will Smith, who still plays for New Orleans on the D-line, gets 8 games. And Scott Fujitas, that is now on Cleveland, gets 3 games. And the punishments from before, Sean Payton, like I said, 16 games. Mickey Loomis getting 8. And Joe Vitt getting 6. And Loomis, he's been getting investigated all week, so he can receive harsher penalties from the league. I don't know, but he might be looking at some jail time if much more progresses. I think I told you guys last week the architect was even getting in the middle of it with how they created his office, and they were saying a lot of new things about him. So we'll see in the further weeks if anything further happens with him. More news about the Saints. Drew Brees still has not re-signed with the Saints. And it's big news. There's no talk about him possibly going anywhere else. But that's where he is at the moment. If you guys look at in the NBA, Steve Nash is kind of in the same predicament with Brees. Two very similar guys. One leading the league last year, actually breaking records with passing yards. And this year, Steve Nash with the most assists in the NBA. Two guys that have been in the league very well. Very well-respected guys. And both are out of their contracts and looking to re-sign. Steve Nash isn't happy with his team, so he might be re-signed with another team. I don't know why Drew Brees wouldn't consider it. Does he want to be not only – I mean, at first I was thinking he just didn't want to be caught up in the middle of this. Is he happy with his team? Not that they were – you know, I really don't know. But at the same time now that all these suspensions are happening, if he – I mean, these guys are at the point of their career where if they re-sign, they're pretty much committed to the rest of their years, at least good years, you know, left with their team. And, you know, I don't know if Brees now wants to finish his career with the Saints. That's just my thought. But nothing has surfaced on ESPN or anything about him re-signing. All of it is just how late he resigns. So we'll see if anything happens with that. But he hasn't re-signed. As of this point, he cannot do anything with the training camps until he re-signs the new deal. At this point, I think it's just he wants more than they want to offer him. At this point, Jesus, you know, the Saints are hurting. They just lost their best defensive player, along with their coach, everybody, and they're in more need now. I think you'll see the passing yards. He won you guys the Super Bowl, given the money that he deserves. You know, he's obviously earned it. He's the centerpiece of that entire town. You got the New Orleans Hornets, who are with the worst team in the NBA, pretty much. You got to, you know, the Saints are all the New Orleans guys. They got to re-sign him and see what that team can do. If they re-sign him, there's still a little hope. But that division that they're in with Atlanta, who's obviously been a quality team the last few years, Carolina, who now is going to be a great team, I think, with, you know, Cam Newton in the second year. Buccaneers probably not too well. But they got a lot of, you know, if they want to get back to where they were last year or, you know, get the playoffs and have a run of the Super Bowl, they have to have Brees. And there's nothing wrong with Brees wanting more money. He's done everything they've asked him to. So we'll see what happens with that. No time frame on when he'll resign, or if he'll resign at all. Yesterday, all-pro linebacker Junior Seau found dead in his home. Gunshot to the chest. Police ruled it a suicide. And even as of right now, it's still ruled a suicide. You just don't know, because everything that I've heard, you know, it's hard to know a player from my perspective, but just from hearing all of his close friends that were with him for numerous years, you just know that he was a humble guy, a very positive guy. A suicide would have nothing to do with him. And I was really questionable at first because it was a gunshot to the chest, and not that I would ever commit suicide, but if you're thinking about suicide, you'd never do it to the chest, you'd do it to the head. Just my thought, I don't know, but apparently that's what it is. He died 43 years old. His girlfriend discovered him in his house yesterday. And yesterday also his girlfriend said that the last time she had heard from him was when Sal sent her and her kids a text saying, "I love you." And that was it. So it does seem like a suicide at this point. And I don't know. You know, I hope that they continue the investigation, which they will. but it looks like a suicide, and it's really sad. His ex-wife actually just announced that he had concussions during his NFL career, which weren't really a big deal, but now that there's more bigger hits and everything, the people are much stronger. It wasn't really an issue back then. So maybe he didn't really talk too much about it, and she was wondering if that possibly had something to do with, you know, his decision to commit suicide, if that so was the case. And, I think that it probably did have something to do with it. You know, it's all mental, and concussions are in your brain, so it's a sad, sad day for him and his family. His mother was just in tears on the radio and on her announcements. But I'll get more into him at 30 past the hour. I think I'm going to contribute my stat of the week to him. Moving on to some better news. Last night, Angels pitcher Jared Weaver threw a no-hitter. It was actually 28 outs he recorded because one of the outs was actually a strikeout that got past the catcher, allowing the runner to go to first base, which still is a strikeout and an out, but you still have to. So instead of 27, 28 outs, 18 of them were strikeouts, 5 were infield pop-ups. He had 121 pitches, 77 were strikes. This is the second no-hitter of the season. This was 11 days after Humber's perfect game, earliest by date since there's been 2 no-hitters in the same season. So that's interesting. Also, 250 no-hitters have happened in MLB history. 5 total have been against the Twins, which was last night. The first since David Wells in 1998. It's the 10th no-hitter in Angels history. Tie with the Astros and the Dodgers since 1961, which is when the Angels became a franchise. Interesting comment by Jared Weaver after he left the dugout to go use the restroom. He said, "I had to pee so bad it was unbelievable. Superstitions had to go out the window," which I thought was funny. You gotta go, you gotta go. I forget superstitions, man. You got a full bladder, it's tough to pitch. But he had a great game. Last out was pretty tough, though. Went a long ways in a warning track. Looked like a clean hit. I wasn't sure. In some ballparks, that might have been a homer, but ended up being the last out of the game and a no-hitter for Jared Weaver. Speaking really quick of last night in baseball, I just thought it was very interesting. A lot of great games. The notable ones was, there was 3 walk-offs. 2 of them, old-timers. Jason Giambi had a walk-off 3-run home run to win an 8-5 game for Colorado. For Atlanta, Chipper Jones hitting a 2-run walk-off home run. I believe it was 14th inning or something. It was 15-13 Braves. And even for Washington, they were down a run with 2 outs and a guy on. They hit a 2-run home run to walk off. Ian Desmond, I believe, hit that one. And in Miami, which was it was over in the West Coast, they were playing San Francisco. Stanton actually hit a wasn't a walk-off because he's on the road, but he hit a game-winning home run in the 10th to win that for Miami, along with the perfect game. It's a crazy day in baseball yesterday. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs continue. Last night, the Rangers beat the Capitals 2-1 in 3 overtimes. They lead the series 2-1. I will talk more about hockey after the top news. Some college football news. Notre Dame quarterback Tommy Rees arrested on felony charges, which are now, I believe, 4 misdemeanors. After he was at a house party, the cops showed up. I guess he decided to take off on foot, ended up knocking the wind out of one of the police officers. He was pepper sprayed and jailed. $150,000 bail. I'm not sure if the bail changed or anything like that. I'm sure he's been bailed out anyways. But apparently it's 4 misdemeanors for him. The NFL PA, National Football League Players Association, is fighting for the player suspensions. And I was a little curious about this because you're thinking, all right, all the news is about the suspensions, but now, I mean, do you understand that these players, well, you're fighting for, what, 3 or 4 players that are suspended because they're hurting players. So is that something that you really want to fight for? They haven't said anything about it, but to me that seems ridiculous. Don't fight for them, you know? They're the ones hurting players and money, you know, it's just... That's totally ridiculous. Trying to hurt players is total no-no in my books. You try to hurt players, you put people out for careers. Football is not as bad as you saw when we met a world peace the other day. I mean, that was serious, but, you know, a hit like that, is 10 times worse than the NFL. It's just everything's so much harder in the NFL. The guys are so much bigger. And you got to keep your players clean. I don't have any problem with Goodell, and I wish the Players Association would just let this one go. It's one or two players, you know, not a big deal. MLB news, San Francisco Giants' Pablo Sandoval has a fractured hand. Second time he's had this injury. Last time he missed 6 weeks, so he's rolled 4 to 6 weeks this time with an injury. Big blow to the San Francisco Giants, who are obviously depend on their pitching, but Pablo, I mean, they got to score runs too, and it's a big blow to them. Other injury news, Terrell Suggs tears Achilles and might miss the entire 2012 season. He says he'll be back for the second half. Either way, it's a big blow to the Ravens defense. They'll make the playoffs regardless, but they're going to need him in the playoffs if they want to have a chance at that Super Bowl. An older team, but they have a lot of quality guys, so together they make a pretty good defense. Other injury news, which is just more on the lighter side, I guess. Well, Knicks guard Amari Stoudemire nearly breaks his hand after a Game 2 loss to the Heat
after punching glass, which also contained a fire extinguisher.
Frustration. He did miss tonight's game. The news so far is that he possibly could miss Game 4. Either way, because of the not that this was the entire reason, but you know, not missing tonight's game, they're already down 3-0 anyways. Since that's never happened before as far as a comeback to win a series after down 3-0, I'm not sure if this is going to matter. But he questionable game for Game 4, so we'll see if that has anything to do with it. But just not a smart play by him. I ended up actually going to Game 2. And when I got home, I saw what the news was kind of funny. So two power forwards in that series. Chris Bosh having a great week. Mari, not so much. The Spurs beat the Jazz by 31 points last night. Like under 30%, I believe. Not good. And the Clippers for game one against Memphis, down 27 points in the fourth quarter, came back to beat the Grizzlies. Longest tie for the longest comeback in NBA history. They lost last night, but are headed back to LA with home field advantage. Just a crazy, crazy game. I really wish I would have not changed the channel, but as a lot of people did, I actually got to see the last few minutes, but I lost all the excitement. And NBA awards were given out so far. I believe all that's been given out so far is Coach of the Year, which was Greg Popovich. No surprise, after finishing with the best record in the West and with a team, let's face it, it's just really old. Every show, OKC's up 3 games. Oh, it's no surprise. Oklahoma City's still number one. Well, it vanished pretty quickly towards the end of the season, and San Antonio got the number one seed. Just a great team. And, Tony Parker, third runner-up for MVP, looks like. Just a great season by him, all-star, everything. So well-deserved. And Defensive Player of the Year was not Serge Ibaka, which I had thought. Because of all the blocks that he had, averaging close to 4 blocks a game, it was Tyson Chandler who wins that, center for the Knicks. So not going to argue with that. He obviously is a great defender himself. Tyson Chandler also led the NBA in field goal percentage by about 12%, which is it was 69%. Number two was Dwight Howard at 57%. So crazy season by him, surprisingly. And I will talk more on the NBA in a little bit.
That's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Let's talk a little hockey. Last Thursday, I was reviewing the Panthers game. And to my surprise, I actually wasn't too overwhelmed with it on the radio, but I was definitely watching it during the show. Game wasn't over when the show was over. I kept watching it. And sadly enough, the Panthers lost in 2 overtimes to the Devils. So that was the last game of the first round for all teams. So the Devils advanced. The Panthers did not. And let's get into round two and who's playing who. Now, last week, I had talked to you guys about who plays who. And I didn't know because it's different. The NBA is officially now different from the NHL with the seedings. Whoever has the best record, you know, gets the home field. But that's not the case for NHL, because it's not one through eight by record, because you're going to have division winners are always going to have priority with seeding. And the NBA, you guarantee the top four spot. So in the top four, you're going to have three division winners and whoever the next best is, or whoever has maybe the second or third best record. And the NHL, the top three division, well, the division winners get the top three spots, but they remain that way. So even in the second round, say the third seed, like the Panthers, if they would have advanced, they would have still had home field. Even if they would have played another 5th seed who had a better record, which they did, the Panthers would have still had the home field, which is cool, which was interesting because coming into game seven, the last games, last night of round one, there was two games left. It was the Rangers game and it was the Panthers game. Now, the number two seed in the East had already lost, so they were out of the playoffs. So then you had the Panthers, who I guess at that point was the number two seed in the, you know, as far as seeding goes. So if the Rangers actually would have lost and the Panthers would have won, then the Panthers would have been the best seed left in the East. Not only for the second round, but the third round, they would have gotten that far. But both games didn't go as planned. Rangers advanced and the Panthers did not. So look at the teams going on so far. Surprising LA Kings. Number 8 seed in the West, knocking off the number 1 seed last round. They now play the number 2 seed, the St. Louis Blues. They already have a 2-0 lead, winning both games in St. Louis. Now it's game 3 back home, and they're up 2-1 with 9:51 left in the second period. You know, I don't know anybody from the Kings or how they played throughout the season, but you're number 8 seed. You're not supposed to be winning these games against these good seeds. But they have been doing it, and even from here, I can tell it's a major upset. But it's always good to see underdogs. The Devils winning 4-3 in overtime. And those were the games today. Look at the playoff series so far. Like I said, LA leads St. Louis 2-0. And they're at home for 2 games. Nashville and Phoenix. Phoenix leads the series 2-1. Next game is in Nashville Friday, which is tomorrow, at 7:30 on the NBC Sports Network. The Rangers lead the Capitals 2-1. Taking back home field advantage. Game 4 is going to be Saturday, 12:30 on NBC in Washington. And the New Jersey Devils, who beat the Panthers last week to advance, is up 2-1 against Philly. Game 3 on Sunday. Other games going on Sunday. St. Louis and Los Angeles play game 4. Los Angeles could be looking to sweep. We'll see what happens with them tonight. And Monday, Washington and New York play game 5. And Nashville, Phoenix play game 5 at 10 o'clock. The Washington-New York Rangers game on at 7:30. So that is your hockey update. I'll keep you guys updated with the game going on at the moment. Just moving on, just checking on the NBA scores. Dallas was closing in, but now OKC, after that three-pointer by Cephalosha, is up 16 now. 66-50. Dallas takes a timeout. Not looking good for Dallas.
Into the future.
Yes, it is time for your Southern Sports Rap Stat of the Week, brought to you by the Zen Man. And definitely everything I want to contribute now. Junior Seau, let's get on to his stats. 20 seasons in the NFL, 13 with the Chargers, 3 with the Dolphins, and 4 with the Patriots. He was the fifth player selected in the 1990 draft. He came out of USC. We have 12 Pro Bowls all in a row from 91 to 02. He is tied with Ray Lewis for the most Pro Bowls from a linebacker.
2 Super Bowls in Junior Seau's career, 1 with the Chargers, 1 with the Pats.
He was part of the 90s All-Decade team. He won the Walter Payton Award in the year of 94, the same year he went to his first Super Bowl. He has not received a ring. He's over 2 in the Super Bowls. 243 games that he appeared in out of the 268 total games. That's a pretty good ratio. He finished his career with 56.5 sacks and 18 interceptions, and he is due for the Hall of Fame class of 2015. So I don't think there'll be any question that he'll be definitely voted in when the time comes.
And if you please would join me in a moment of silence for Junior Seau and his family.
All right, thank you, and I wish his family all the best, and hopefully they're getting through it okay. It's tough to lose a guy, like I said, it's tough to even think that he would commit suicide with the kind of person that he was, so I couldn't imagine the loss that his family's going through right now. So I wish him the best. And let's move it on really quick. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA. Like I said, 2 games on today. Heat blowing out the Knicks 87-70. And looks like OKC is going to be blowing out the Dallas Mavericks here. Still some time left. OKC is 66-33 with 4 minutes left in the third. Tomorrow, let's talk about yesterday, actually. Yesterday there was 3 games. First one, like I mentioned, Spurs blowing out Utah 114-83. Also, Indiana beating Orlando big time 97-74, getting back home field. That was in Orlando. And Memphis holding off the Clippers 105-98 to tie that game. Series of 1-1. It's going to shift back to LA now for that. The series looking so far. And the Bulls 76ers. Is tied up. The series is tied 1-1. Chicago won 2 out of the 3 games during the regular season. The Heat Knicks, the Heat are now up commanding 3 games to nothing. And Miami did win all 3 games in the regular season. Another note there on the Knicks, which on a normal night would have been a stat of the week. After the loss today, the Knicks did get their 13th straight playoff loss in a row. That is an NBA record. Pacers Magic. Pacers now up 2 games to 1. Orlando actually won 3 of the 4 games in the regular season. And the final series there in the East, Boston-Atlanta. Series now tied 1-1, shifting back to Boston. Boston winning 2 out of the 3 games. And the regular season going to the Western Conference. Spurs and Jazz. Spurs winning both games at home. They're up in the series 2 games to nothing, shifting back to Utah. Antonio winning 3 of the 4 games in the regular season. OKC and Dallas. Some of the most, really interesting games. They always seem to have some close games. Very exciting games during the regular season. Thunder currently have 2 games to nothing. They are leading by 9 points at the moment. So looking to try to take a commanding 3-0 lead. Dallas trying to make a series of it. And OKC winning 3 of the 4 games during the regular season. LA and Denver. LA winning the first 2 games. Going back to Denver, they won 3 of the 4 games in the regular season. And Memphis and LA tied up 1-1 in the series. Los Angeles winning 2 of the 3 games in the regular season for them. Now let's get into my playoff predictions. I made these predictions earlier. I guess it didn't really change much. It's going to be a tough prediction here. But I'm still going to keep all my predictions. The Bulls are going to win the series against the 76ers in 7 games. I still have my same prediction for the Heat. I think the Heat are going to win it 4. I thought the Hawks were going to win that series, but you know what? Celtics, without Rondo winning at Atlanta, and I know Atlanta's a tough place to play, but they showed me a lot. I think Celtics are going to win that game in 6, a series of 6 games. I think they're going to win that, you know, game 6 at home. I still have faith in the Magic. I have the Magic in 7 games. The Spurs, I think, are going to win in 6 games, which, I have 6 games. Thunder, I really think the Thunder are going to win in 7. Obviously, if the Thunder win today, it's going to be over in, obviously, less than 7, but obviously, 2 very close games that they won against Dallas, and I know it took a lot out of Dallas. Now they're at home, so if they can get this game back to a close game, they have a better chance of winning it at the end with the home crowd. If they can do that, they get to go to a 7-game series. The Clippers, I think, will win in 6 games versus the Grizzlies, and the Lakers, I think, will win in 5 games versus the Nuggets. That could be a sweep, but I'm not going to call a sweep for the Lakers. They're a little inconsistent, and I just think the Nuggets will steal one. Those are my predictions. Just want to note that I always thought the Heat were going to win it all. Obviously, I wanted that, but as just a viewer, I think that they are the best team in the playoffs. And I just want to point out that I do wish Rose was healthy. I don't wish injury on anybody. The Heat took care of him last year. I think they would have no problem taking care of him this year. I don't want people saying, oh, well, Rose was hurt. Well, you know, I would like to win it with him. But, you know, he's not going to be part of the playoffs. And I just got word that Jason Kidd just won the 2012 Sportsman Player of the Year. Can't argue with that. And just moving on to our schedules for the upcoming playoff games. Tomorrow is Friday, and there are 3 games going on tomorrow. First game at 7:30 on ESPN. 2 is Atlanta at Boston. Like I said, a series tie 1-1, now in favor of Boston. Atlanta with the better record. Like I said, NBA matchups, better record. You have home field. Atlanta with a 1-game better record at the 5th seed. Reason, obviously, why the Celtics have the 4th seed and not the 5th seed is because they won their divisions to guarantee the top 4 spot. And Indiana already got one of the top 4 spots, meaning that Atlanta could not. So that's how that worked out. 8 o'clock on ESPN, Chicago at Philadelphia. Game 3, very interesting game. I'd like to see how Chicago rebounds and how Philly reacts to how they played last game. Are they going to continue their good play? Because they have been playing great in the second half of the season. If they play like they played last game, though, they're not going to lose another game of the series. But obviously they're very young and a little inconsistent. So we'll see how each team plays in that one. Like I said, Chicago has been playing well without Rose all season. So, and at 10:30 on ESPN, LA at Denver. The Lakers looking to make it 3-0. So we'll see if Denver can possibly get something going there on the home field. Remember, they are a mile high. I've actually visited the stadium, and we'll see if that has, you know, any effects on the Lakers' lungs. Saturday, there's going to be 4 games. 2 o'clock on ESPN, Indiana at Orlando. At 4:30, it's going to be the Memphis at L.A. Clippers. On ESPN, 7:30, NBA TV is Oklahoma City at Dallas. And at 10 o'clock, San Antonio at Utah. Chicago at Philly, 1 o'clock on ABC. 3:30, it'll be Game 4, Miami at New York. 7 o'clock on NBA TV, it'll be Atlanta at Boston, Game 4. And at 9:30 on NBA TV, it'll be Game 4, Lakers at Denver. So that's your weekend lineup for the NBA. Moving to some NFL news, obviously it's been all over ESPN. Kind of already talked a little bit about the suspensions. I had no problem with it at all. The talk on ESPN is that it's just too much. And there's been analysts saying that they agree with it. But, all this talk about, it's a whole year. And for an NFL player, That's a lot. I mean, that's because you know what? These guys are already rich. They have money. It's not going to affect them that way. And even if it did, it's their fault. They knew what they were doing. Anybody in the right mind would know that they're breaking the law. They're breaking the rules when they're doing what they're doing. So there's nothing wrong with any suspensions going on here. They're not going to get any pay for the suspension a time that they're gone for. So that's just, you know, that's my take on that. Like I said, Drew Brees, you know, he deserves every penny. If they don't want to pay him, I don't see why there hasn't been talk about him going to another team. The fact that they haven't paid him this far, not even talking about the suspensions, but now that even the suspensions have happened and the fact that they need him even more to make a playoff run, they still haven't got a deal done. It's really surprising. You just have to do it. And so far that they haven't, so I really don't understand, but that's how they want to do it. So the Saints have been all the news, all the talks in the offseason. The other NFL news has been the draft. Just want to point out, last week I talked about the first round, and obviously the rest of the two rounds happened Friday and Saturday. Just some notables, FIU, which is my alumni, T.Y. Hilton drafted third round, 92nd pick from to the Colts. He is the highest ever by an FIU player. So congratulations to him, and I will definitely, you know, be watching him throughout the NFL season. He might have a decent role this season for them. Obviously, the worst team in the NFL last year, losing Pierre Garçon and Reggie Wayne, definitely getting a little older.
You can see him doing some kick returning, punt returning, and definitely some time actually playing wide receiver.
So see if he can stay healthy and get the speed, can overcome his size. Dolphins get running back Lamar Smith, a 97th pick. He played for University of Miami. And sources have said that they also signed Jacory Harris, quarterback out of Miami. I'm not happy with that at all. Not like he's going to get playing time. Are you kidding me? Jacory Harris you have guys going number one in the draft, quarterbacks, Marcus Russell, all these players, and they don't succeed. And you think you're going to draft a mediocre quarterback? Mediocre to decent at best, you know, he's not gonna be a good NFL player, no way. But apparently they think he might be, so that's the case right there. So I don't know who we're gonna have as quarterback. We have Matt Moore, David Garrard, I guess Jacory Harris will be our fourth string. Not that he's gonna make it in the final cut, but he's apparently, you know, he's gonna be a possibility. And then obviously Ryan Tannehill, who they got 7th pick in the draft. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to do the top three plays.
That's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
All right, fine. Thanks to Troy Polamalu. I'll do the top three plays right now. Let's kick it off with play number three.
Of course, they didn't have big scoring options. Allison way off that time. LeBron James tips it to Chalmers. Chalmers comes up with a 3-on-1. Wade alley-oop throws it down. You could see that developing as they went down the floor.
Just want to really quickly, before I go to the top two plays, just really quickly, I'm just checking out the box score. Notables, LeBron James had 32 points. Chris Bosh, who didn't get much sleep, he only had 9 points, but 3 for 5. He didn't have a bad game. He actually made a 3-pointer, 1 for 1 from there. 2 or 3 from the line. Chalmers, I think, was the big notable one here. 5 for 8 from downtown, 19 points. D. Wade, 2 for 5 from downtown.
20 points for Wade, and Bosch with 10 rebounds to go with his 9 points.
Good game for him. Brother Nick's side, Anthony, 22 points. Chandler, 10. And Landry Fields, 12. Chandler did have 15 rebounds. So that was the scoring thing from there, but I'm not going to get carried away. Let's get back to our top three plays. Here's play number two.
9 seconds, got to get it in. It's in the hands of Durant, the scoring champ, from the top against Marion. Durant, pull-up jumper, up the rim and in.
Oh!
With 1.5 left, no timeout. Marion on the deck. Marion can put it up, and the Thunder win. Durant beat him again.
that shot was the reason why the series is where it is. Like every time I'm trying to give you guys an update on the game, somebody wants to hit a three for the Thunder. So they're up 21. It's not looking good. So that, you know, it just it took everything out of Dallas. You know, you would never thought they'd have a chance in that game, but they actually had the game won. Just a lucky bounce for Durant. I'm not saying he's not a great player, but he got the bounce in that one. And got game one. Here is play number one. That's right. This is your first ever hockey play on the top three plays on the Sentinel Sports Strap, brought to you by the Zen Band. Here it is. Last night's game with the Rangers. Three overtimes.
Now Girardi has it far side. Behind for Richardson. Brodeur! The Rangers win in the third overtime. Marian Gaborik beats Holtby with 5:19 remaining in the third overtime. Gaborik wins it for the Rangers.
You're into fourth time. That's pretty intense. You know how much a goal means when it's three. You play three periods of sudden death. Any goal wins. Nothing. Game three. And it was, excuse me. Well, it was game three. It was the third overtime. Just crazy, crazy. And Rangers getting back that home field advantage with the win at Washington. And just to finish off my show, we have about. Have about 5 minutes left. Just want to really quickly run down some MLB for you. I know the Marlins were having a struggle, but they actually just swept the Giants in San Fran. So good for them. I think they won all three games by one run. A few scores today.
Royals beating the Yankees 4-3 at home.
I really don't understand that. Yankees losing... It was a 5-0 to Baltimore. How do you have a team like that? I mean, it just goes to show you how much different these sports are. If you had the payroll and the talent on a basketball team like you do, the Yankees, they would never lose games like this. The teams like the Royals are horrible. The Orioles probably won't be that great come towards the end of the season with records. So, I mean, you know, I don't know how they lose these games, but it is baseball. It's a long season. It's just one game, but Yanks fall again. Not a really good record for them. White Sox losing to the Indians at home, Cleveland winning 7-5. Washington beating Arizona at home 2-1. The Marlins, like I said, finishing off that series, winning 3-2 in San Fran. Pittsburgh winning 6-3 at St. Louis. Tampa Bay holding off, winning 4-3 home against Seattle.
Reds beating the Cubs 4-3 in 11 innings.
With Atlanta and Philly, a two-hour and five-minute game, I believe it was. For Atlanta and Philly winning 4-0 at Atlanta. And the only game still left is Toronto at the Angels. And notable, Pujols has still not hit his first home run since being an Angel. It's been like 20, 21 games. He still hasn't hit a homer. Matt Kemp has like 12 and Pujols has 0. But you know he's a late starter. He'll be fine. Don't be surprised if he still has 30, 35 homers. But Toronto winning this one 5-0 so far in the top of the eighth. Let me get really quick my standings. In the American League East, Tampa's on top 18 with an 18-8 record. Baltimore right behind. Boston and New York on the bottom over there. And the Central, Cleveland 13-10 up top with one. Detroit and Chicago right there behind them. And the AL West, Texas 17-8. Clearly the best record there. National League East, Washington 16-9. Atlanta right behind him. With 15-11 record. And the NL Central, St. Louis 16-9 with the best record there. Cincinnati right behind them. And then the NL West, the Dodgers 17-8, which tied with Texas for the best record in baseball. Arizona, Colorado, right about 4.5 games back of the Dodgers. And just really quickly, your upcoming games, the upcoming series for the weekend. Tigers host the White Sox. Indians host the Rangers. Mets host the Diamondbacks. The Red Sox host the Orioles. Pirates host the Reds. Rays host the Athletics.
The Astros host the Cardinals. The Royals hosting the Yankees.
The Cubs host the Dodgers. The Rockies hosting the Braves. Angels hosting the Blue Jays. Padres hosting the Marlins. Giants hosting the Brewers, Mariners hosting the Twins, and the Nationals are going to be hosting the Phillies for a big division game right there. And just quickly, your stat leader so far. Home run leader Matt Kemp has 12. Hamilton, Grandison, and Encarnacion have 9. As far as RBIs go, Andre Ethier actually leading from the same team as Matt Kemp at 27. And then Josh Hamilton, Matt Kemp with 25 each. Your average leaders, Matt Kemp still leading in average with 411 batting average. Hamilton with 395. David Wright, 392. David Ortiz, 391. And for runs, Matt Kemp has 27. Kinsler has 27. So a lot of Rangers, a lot of Dodgers on that list. Not too surprising. And with that, I want to say thank you for tuning in. Just make sure you join
Captain Frank Andretti in his show alongside Ken from Jersey
Tuesday nights at 10:30. And make sure to join me, the Zen Man, on the Sunbelt Sports Wrap every Thursday night at 11 o'clock. It's been another edition of the Sunbelt Sports Wrap. I want to say good luck to all your playoff teams, NHL and NBA. And I will see you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in. Good night.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Blaine for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from the eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that goes deep. Back to Schaefer, at the wall, gone! My goodness, an absolute bomb!
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling at a fender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.